Your lesson is taken from the book of Acts, chapter 5, and we want to talk about this morning. I want to talk about spiritual power in a material world. We have a world which, by and large, denies the spiritual realities. And it tries to argue that there's just a materialistic universe, and no matter how far back they go, they can't explain the how or the why to creation. And all of the miracles that God does in answer to prayer are largely just ignored by the people of the world. But if you're going to thrive under pressure in this world, you're going to need God's help in your life. So we're in Acts chapter 5, starting at verse 12. The apostles performed many signs and wonders among the people. All the believers used to meet together in Solomon's colonnade. No one else dared join them, even though they were highly regarded by the people. Nevertheless, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. As a result, people brought the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and mats, so at least Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he passed by. Crowds gathered also from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those tormented by impure spirits, and all of them were healed. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of His Word. Now, typically, when I read a portion of Scripture like this, I immediately get spiritual envy. I don't know if any of you do or not. But I would like to be an apostle. I'd like to be the Apostle Peter. That's what I'd really... Let's cut right to the heart of it. I'd like to be the first apostle, the top guy. I'd like to walk by and have my shadow fall on people and people be healed. Anybody understand what I'm talking? You probably don't have the same temptations that I have. But you understand that when we read about real big spiritual power, we can tend to want God's glory for ourselves. But the fact of the matter, in the early church, it wasn't everybody that was used for miraculous signs and wonders. It was the apostles. There were thousands and thousands of Christians, and I've heard preaching that said, kind of, Peter did this, so you can do it too. And then we all go around moping, saying, well, what's wrong with me? You know, I prayed. What happened to me? And that kind of teaching ignores the fact that the Bible also teaches that everybody's given different spiritual gifts. And some people are given gifts of healing. Some people are made apostles, some prophets, some teachers, some pastors. Some have the gift of helps. And it's not a very, doesn't look like a very exciting gift, but that's their gift. Some people have very presentable gifts, but God is working still today. And in fact, even though, you know, when you read the book of Acts, you see all of these miracles happening one after another, you think, why can't it be like that today? But it's my contention, brothers and sisters, that there are more miracles, more answered prayer in the world in a single day than there is in the whole book of Acts. It's just that we don't get to see them all. I mean, even in my own life, I know, even though I'm not the Apostle Peter, I've seen answered prayer. I know that my mother was healed of cancer in 1952, and she's still living and raising a little bit, still kicking a little bit, and raising some dust down there in Dowling Park, Florida. That's a long time since 1952. And I know that there was a man named Emerson in one of the churches I pastored. This was before he was in the community, and he had spinal cancer. And our youth group prayed for him, and he was miraculously healed. I mean, he was in the hospital going to have surgery. He had lost 30 pounds in 30 days. And he was unable to walk. And he went in the hospital, and our youth group at Bear Point prayed for him. And when they did the exploratory, they did the surgery, there was no tumor in there at all. And he was walking the day after the surgery, and they had him home in 3 days, and he was eating normally. So I know that God is answering prayer. I just wish I had him on a pull chain, you know? I wish it was like Bugs Bunny. You know Bugs Bunny? Is it shocking to you today that not all kids know about Bugs Bunny? It's shocking to me. There was one episode of Bugs Bunny. For those of you that don't know Bugs Bunny, he's a cartoon character from the 50s and 60s. But there's one episode where he ends up in a castle in Transylvania. Do you, any of you remember that? Yeah? He ends up and there's a vampire there that's just eager to have some rabbit. And Bugs Bunny is going around exploring the castle or just having being his own fun self. And he goes, da 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 da, hocus pocus. And whenever he says hocus pocus or abracadabra, something messes up the vampire's day. Some magic happens because he says magic words. And that's kind of what we wish we could do to God. Say, in Jesus' name, and we get whatever we want. Like, rub the jar. You do what I tell you. That is what has been called by Ralph Naber. That's the pagan triangle, you know, where the pagan triangle has the master at the top, and the servant is over here, and the holy man is over here, and the person prays to the idol and says, give me a good lottery number. And the idol doesn't respond, so the person takes a bowl of rice to the monk and says, get the idol to give me a good lottery number. And in that scheme of things, the master is the person praying, telling the idol what to do. We do that sometimes. We do that. We want God. Listen, when I was in New Zealand pastoring, I had a Bible study among a Polynesian group called Niueans. And one of the people in the Bible study group, after they got to know me a little bit, he said, Pastor, he said, what would you say if I asked you for a lucky number? I'd say, I don't know what you're talking about. He said, well, among Niueans, sometimes, quite often, we'll go to the pastors and we'll ask them to give us a lottery number. Because we figure if the pastor gives it, it might bring something. I said, I've only got unlucky lottery numbers. And I said, I asked him, now when the pastor gives you a lottery number and it doesn't pay off, do you fire the pastor? Oh, they all laughed at that idea. That was funny. Yeah, but if he pretends to have the power to put God on a pull chain and get a lottery number and it doesn't come off, then it's just pretense. It's like those people in Jeremiah's day. There were false prophets in Jeremiah's day that prophesied the things people wanted to hear. The people did not. Jeremiah would get up there and he'd prophesy that, you know, your people have been wicked and God's going to send the Babylonians according to his promise in the covenant. When you're wicked, he's going to punish you with the sword of the nations. And he's going to send the Babylonians to punish you. And all the people, they all left church like this. And the false prophets figured out the people don't want to hear that. What did they want to hear? And they would say, thus saith the Lord Jehovah, you'll have peace and you'll have more peace. And on top of that, you'll have peace and prosperity. And everybody cheered. But just because they said, in the name of Jehovah, didn't make it happen. You understand? God's not on a pull chain. The type of spiritual power that we're looking at is the spiritual power to do what God asks us to do. Our understanding is we come before God in prayer and we say, my Lord, what would you have me to do? I was preaching in Rhode Island had a bunch of kids that started to come to the River Point Church, and I was preaching one Sunday evening about Elijah on Mount Carmel. For those of you that don't know, one of the most exciting parts, one of the most exciting things in the Bible. Elijah goes on Mount Carmel, and they have two sacrifices. The sacrifices that the priests of Baal and the priestess of Asherah have, and a sacrifice to the Lord. And they're going to have a competition. The priests of Baal are going to pray for fire from heaven to burn up the sacrifice. And Elijah is going to pray for fire from heaven, and it's got to see if who will answer prayer. The one that answers prayer, Elijah says, that's God. And the people say, good test. So they prepare the offerings, and the priests of Baal, they call on Baal all day long. They dance and shout and sing, and they cut themselves till the blood flowed, and nothing happened because no one was listening. That's the problem. That's the problem with the idols of this world, is there's nobody really listening. That's why major portions of the Hindu population in India are converting, especially the low caste and outcasts, they're becoming Christians by the tens of thousands because they've been praying to the idols all along. But when they pray to Jesus, something happens. So Elijah comes turn for Elijah to pray, and fire comes down from heaven. And this kid that was in the River Point Church from the community, he came up to me after the service and he said, teach me how to do that magic. He wanted to know how he could get fire. He wanted to have God on a pull chain. Fire from heaven on that one. And he didn't understand, or even from the reading of the text, it says in the Bible, the prayer that Elijah said, he said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God, and that I'm your servant, and that I have done these things because you told me to. Do you understand? That's how the fire fell from heaven, because God had told Elijah to do this. So our job, if we're going to walk in spiritual power, our job is to come before the Lord, listen to His Word, read His Word, come before the Lord and say, Lord, what would you have me to do? You think, that doesn't sound like very much fun. I'd rather have a genie. Most people, that's what they want out of God. They want a spiritual genie. But the call that we have is to be like Elijah and to do these things according to His Word, what He's asked us to do. And He's asked us. It's not hard to understand. The Bible, you'd think the Bible was like the Encyclopedia Britannica, because people say, oh, I haven't read the whole Bible. It's not that book, not that big a book. And it's not very hard to understand major portions of it. God called Abram and He said, now you're going to bless people. And your children are going to bless people. And their children are going to bless people. And all nations on earth are going to be blessed through you. That's your job. Hard to understand? You wake up in the morning, you go to prayer. What are you going to pray? You're going to pray, Lord, how am I going to use my gifts to be a blessing? How am I going to use? Lord, empower me to be obedient. Lord Jesus, enable me to say no to the flesh today. That's a struggle every day. Lord Jesus, you've told me in your word that I am to surrender my body a living sacrifice. So what I'm surrendering to you today is my tongue. I'm going to speak a word of blessing. I'm going to be used of you to bless those around me. Because that's the kind of power that, it's not only the kind of power that God gives, that's the kind of power that the world needs. The Lord doesn't need a bunch of Christian sorcerers around. He only made a dozen there. The apostles were doing these amazing miracles, and it confirmed the gospel, and answered prayer continues to confirm the gospel, the truth of the scripture today. But day by day by day, we're just called upon to use the gifts. Who God has made us to be a blessing to those around us. And as we surrender to Him, as we surrender to Him, He does amazing things through us. Sometimes we're not even aware of them. Like I think I've shared with you about another little boy in the River Point Church. He was 8 years old and his father had died from a ruptured liver. He was an alcoholic. And at the funeral, at the visiting time, you know, the collation where you have food after the funeral, the little boy sat in a chair and he told me all about the day his father died. And he was home from school that day. He didn't know his father was dying because his father had been so often passed out from drinking. He'd vomited blood before. And his father was going through the process of dying, which the boy described to me. And he felt bad. And I thought, what can I say? You know? What can you say to an 8-year-old boy? So I told him the gospel as I knew it. Jesus loves you just the same. And you don't have to live that way. And you can live forever. And I didn't hear anything about, I didn't know anything about what happened next until I moved to this church. It's like 40 years later. The boy found me on Facebook and he said, I've been a Christian ever since you talked to me. He said, my mom got saved. My stepdad got saved and we've been serving the Lord in a church in Coventry, Rhode Island. Ever since. Huh? So, I didn't have any great sense of a lightning bolt coming down. But the gospel was all the power that was needed for that little boy. And we just try to be faithful in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by His power. And He'll use us for His honor and for His glory. I'm not talking about that we have to we need to live in sinless perfection. It's not about us and how good we are, but it's about how strong Jesus is and how much ability He has to offer everything that we offer up, everything that we offer Him as a gift, every act that we have. We think, I don't know if I can say the right words. I don't know if I pray, will I say, ask for the wrong thing? Look, God is not going to do something stupid just because you ask it. Don't worry about it. Ask the best you know how. Huh? You're not going to mess up God. That would be scary, wouldn't it? If you thought you could mess up God, that would be very scary. So pray the best you know how. And let God take care of the results. And we'll be doing His will and pleasing Him in this day and age.